But then we come to the year 1980, and that's when you brought up, and let's talk about it, Channel 2 sports director Jerry Weber. What did he do?
He came to Bill and said, listen, I can get an hour of free time on Channel 2. Let's start a telethon to raise money to build a ballpark here in Tulsa. Jerry got that idea, and he talked with Bill and Roy, and Roy brought a great deal of the cast with him to Tulsa for the show, a lot of the people from the Hee-Haw show.
Wayne Sam Lovello was the director of Hee-Haw for 20 years or however long, and Sam, well, he brought, I guess, 10 or 15 of the Hee-Haw people here.
Goober was here.
George Lindsay was here, and George just passed away, as you well know, a couple of days ago.
Right.
But George was here, and all the pretty girls were here.
They raised $90,000 that evening.
Was that the seed then to build the stadium?
Well, that's what it was for. It was what it was used for, to build the stadium, but that wasn't enough money. That didn't get us where we need to be.
But it was, I'm going to call it the seed again. That was planted the start.
Right.
To build Driller Stadium,
right,
which is where we are right now.
Absolutely.
And this is where we're doing our interview, by the way, and when those of you may hear the wind blowing, it's a great afternoon for baseball, as a matter of fact, right now, here at Driller Stadium. How much would you have needed then in 1980 to build a new park?
When we put together the numbers for the baseball park, we figured on spending $1.5 million.
Let's go back a little bit again to Jerry. Do you think that he was really the impetus to get it going?
I think that he was a big help to get this going where we need to go.
Because you hadn't really thought we're going to build
it. We talked about it, and it was his idea. Jerry was dedicated to this community, and he was a very, very fine Christian man, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
He did a lot for baseball. He did a lot for Tulsa.
He still coached American League Baseball.
That's right.
He would get off the news at 6:30. Jump in his car, change his uniform, and go coach a game, and then come back to do the 10 o'clock sports. That's how much he liked. Now, his boys were playing American Legion baseball at that time, but
even so,
he still made time for his sons in between that 6 and 10 o'clock news. Jerry was a very, very nice man.
Very dedicated city citizen in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
So we've got $90,000 against $1 million. Where do we get the rest of the money?
Well, we talk to the county. We work with the commissioners. We look around. I just stay trying to push, trying to find people to get involved. One day out of the blue sky, my banker called me on the phone, and he said, I've got somebody that wants to talk to you.
Can I know who your banker was?
Tom Henson.
At which
and
bank?
He was the Fourth National Bank.
And somebody wants to talk to you.
And somebody wants to talk to you about helping you build a ballpark. A guy by the name of Smith, Marshall Smith. He's an insurance agent out of Miami, Oklahoma. I said, fine, dandy. I told Tom, have him call me. And he called me and he said, we want to help you. I asked him if it is we, he and who. And he said, no, the man that I do insurance for wants to help you. Wouldn't tell me who it was. Anyway, I ended up meeting this man. He didn't want to be known as who it was. We called him the Angel.
Publicly, you referred to him as the Angel?
Because we were advertising, trying to get anything. We started calling him the Angel. He wanted to help. That's without a commitment, but he wanted to help. And again, I was called by my banker, Tom Henson, and Tom said, I can assure you, he can help you. He can build it if he wants to build it.
So you had a meeting with the Angel?
Yes,
face to face?
Yes.
And when you looked in his eyes, you knew there was a commitment there?
Well, no. When I first looked him in the eye, he did not commit to me. I went back and talked to him several times. Ended up that he put some demands on me. I never told anybody else this. But I'm going to tell you this now. He would build it if I would give him 49% of the Drillers and 2% would go to Marshall Smith.
Okay.
That meant Roy and I had left 49%. He was committed to putting together $1 million. Okay. This design is by myself and the county. That's who designed this ballpark and the people that sold us the bleachers. We cut every corner we could to get it done. And I did it for totally, strictly cost. No profit, nothing, just cost. Nothing for my time or anything. But anyway, we ended up building the ballpark.
So you accepted his terms?
Yes, I did.
How did Roy feel about that when he was first told?
Well, Roy was like I am. We were interested in serving the community. We weren't interested in making a dollar.
So the two of you then shared the 49%.
Yes.
What was the name of the angel?
Bob Sutton.
Robert Bob Sutton.
Right.
And he lived?
He lived in Tulsa. At the time, he was from Sepulpa originally, and he lived in Tulsa.
Did you know him before this?
No. No, I never met him before.
And how did he come by his business?
He was in the oil business. Back those days, the government had a situation where you got more money for the oil if it was new oil than if it were old oil. Therefore, he was selling old oil, I think, as new oil, and he was making a tremendous amount of money.
So should we deal with that here? Because then he eventually
got in trouble.
For doing exactly what you said.
Doing exactly the trading of the oil properties.
So you accepted his deal, and then you proceed with the building of this driller stadium.
Right.
Which was limited to how big a seating area?
5,000 or so. We completed that, and I think that he'd give us about $800,000. Then he got in trouble, and that ended that. So we didn't have that anymore. We didn't have his $1 million coming in. That kind of left the county and Bill Rawlins hanging on the line.
However, they named it Sutton Stadium.
To start with, we did. We named it Sutton Stadium when we started building it. That's right. Before we finished it, he got in trouble. And the county commissioner, Terry Young, to be honest, was the one of the most vocal, and rightfully so. Terry said, I want the stadium changed. I want the name changed.
Because already they had signage for Sutton Stadium.
Right.
People drive by could see the name,
right.
Sutton
Yours.
Stadium.
Right. That was because of me. I asked them to name it Sutton Stadium.
And did Mr. Sutton immediately, did he like that?
Yeah. And Lou Harris and Mel Rice were for it. And Terry was for it until Bob Sutton got in trouble and kind of left us hanging out there.
All right. In the meantime, was the ballpark completed?
It was being completed.
Being completed. And then you found out that his money would not come to you.
That's
what
right.
He had proposed, he never came through on.
Not totally. He did come through with $800,000.
Oh, he came through with $800,000,
yeah.
But then he couldn't come up with the extra, how much more?
$200,000.
$200,000, all right.
And the county and I knew that we had the $100,000 roughly that we'd raised, that Jerry Weber had helped us raise, and we had some other. So we were able to maneuver around and get that. It was going to be about $1,350,000 or $1,400,000, what the original cost was.
So you've got $800,000 and you've got $900,000. Where'd you get the rest of the money?
The county and Bill Rawlins came up with it.
Wow.
Now that's something I've never told anybody this other than Roy.
You mean the whole story of Sutton and his demands?
Yes.
And then you also came up with the end balance, which was another, how much from you, Bill?
About $200,000.
That you and the county split?
No, well, the county put about $300,000 or something in it, and I put something like $200,000 in it. That allowed us to build it.
Wow. Do you have any idea how much money you put into baseball in Tulsa?
I have no idea. I've contributed a lot of time to it, too. Of course, my time was worth something.
Yeah.
But I have no complaints. The only complaint I sit here and look at, this stadium is still a nice stadium.
Yeah.
I have frustrations with it not being used.
Right. And you probably don't want to know how much money you spent on this, but an enormous amount of money, Bill.
John, when I say that, originally this was built for TU. TU was going to play here, and they canceled their program. But again, it was for the community.
And for a time, it was used for high school football.
Right.
With some of the independent, well, not independent, but not the Tulsa Public School. Bishop Kelly played ball here when Eastwood Baptist had a high school. They played their football games here. In the mid to late 80s, there was some high school football here also.
We made a big mistake. We let Mr. Sutton call the show, and we put AstroTurf down, and we made the big mistake of doing that. We shouldn't have done that.
He wanted AstroTurf.
He wanted AstroTurf. I have to say, in defense of Bob Sutton, he basically did as much as he could do. He went as far as he could go.
And then he ultimately went to prison.
That's right.
Do we know where he is?
Yes, he passed away.
Did you have words with him either before he went to prison or as he was being convicted in that time, or were you not around him at all?
I spoke to him one time, and that was when he and I threw out the first ball. And I don't remember what year it was, but Chuck was at that time running the club.
I think that might have been in 2005.
Could very well be.
That was the 100th anniversary of baseball in Tulsa. Professional baseball started in 1905. I think I remember that as 2005.
But he and I both threw the first ball out.
In 2005?
Yes.
The team at that time was owned by Hubbard.
Right. Years later, after he was out of his prison time, they brought him back for a game.
Why?
Because of what he'd done for Tulsa baseball.
And maybe I shouldn't
remember, John, that I never told anybody just what I told you. So nobody
knew that. A lot
of
people didn't know. I didn't know.
Didn't know what?
What I just told you, that he was involved and how the deal was done, ownership and why.
Right.
After we started the stadium, we opened the stadium in 1981, actually. And I was not active because Mr. Sutton wanted Marshall Smith to run it.
How did that set with you?
I didn't come to many ball games after that.
In 81 and 82, Marshall Smith was the president of the club. Then in 83 is when everything changed and everything was sold.
Well, that's when
Texas.
What happened on that situation. The agreement between myself and Eddie Childs and Brad Corbett was that if we sold the franchise, they could buy it or I could buy it for the $40,000 that we originally had involved. I was out of it and I told them to sell it.
Eddie Childs owned the Texas Rangers at that time. Then he also purchased the Tulsa Drillers. So he owned the Tulsa Drillers and the Texas Rangers. So he personally owned the team, not the Texas Rangers. Eddie Childs, as an individual,
right,
owned both clubs. You can do that.
He still does. They still, now that he's not involved in it.
Right.
But they own the club. Their farm club now is at Frisco, and they own that. And they own their AAA club, which used to have, the Rangers did, was in Oklahoma City. Now it's in Round Rock, Texas. Nolan Ryan, at one time, owned Round Rock Club.
Yes.
But anyway, Eddie Childs, of course, he passed away as well. But Eddie ended up owning the Drillers because, basically, he and I had, Brad Corbett had a deal on the franchise. And once you own the franchise, you own the club. Now, Eddie Childs never owned the corporation that we had.
I'm still taken with the fact that Mr. Sutton wanted Marshall Smith to run the club.
Right.
Did you and Sutton have odds between each other?
No, he just wanted it that way, and I'd done what I thought was the thing that I wanted to do for the city. You understand, I had, as I told you, I think the first time you interviewed me, I wasn't doing it for a profit. I was doing it for the city.
Didn't you feel like it was a slap in the face?
It didn't make me laugh, John. I can say that. It hurt. Yeah, it hurt.
Yeah. But
here's a man that's not only saved baseball, but built a modern stadium for the city of Tulsa. And at that time, the attendance before this happened was very low. And then Bill Rawlings hired a guy by the name of Merrill Eckstein as the general manager.
Yeah.
He started doing things that made it fan-friendly. The families began to come back. You saw parents and little children.
Right.
You saw the teens out on a date. I think you had date night at $2 apiece.
Right.
Or something where the kids could come and have a date.
Right.
That wasn't very high. He brought those days back.
Yes.
After Marshall Smith.
Well, Marshall Smith came in 81 and 82. But Bill had established.
I had established Merrill
right
here before that.
Right.
I had brought him in.